"You're going to hate me," he says when she stops crying. She looks up at him. "Why?" "Because I want to know what Volkov's Polish spin doctor gave you as a souvenir. Looks to me like it might be a set of steak knives." "Asshole," she says, sniffs. "Aren't you going to open it?" She puts the crumbled blue report down and explores the beige envelope's flap, which she finds is secured by two tiny gold-plated snaps. She lifts it, works the fabric back. A Louis Vuitton slimline attaché, its gold-plated clasps gleaming. She stares at it.
"You'd better open it," says Parkaboy.
She does, exposing in tightly packed rows white-banded sheaves of crisp new bills.
"What's that?"
"Hundreds. Brand new, sequentially numbered. Probably 5,000 of them."
"Why?"
"They like round numbers."
"I mean, why is it here?"
"It's for you."
"I don't like it."
"We can put it on eBay. Somebody in Miami might want it."
"What are you talking about?"
"The briefcase. It's not your style."
"I don't know what to do with it."
"Let's talk about it in the morning. You need to get some sleep."
"This is absurd."
"It's Russia," he grins at her. "Who gives a shit?
We found the maker."
She looks at him.
"We did, didn't we?"
He leaves her the water. She uses one fingertip to gingerly close the case, then drapes it with its beige dust cover, carries the water into the bathroom to rinse with after she's brushed her teeth. Sitting on the bed, she removes the slippers, seeing that her left foot has bled slightly through its bandages. Her ankles look swollen. She takes off the cardigan, rolls skirt thing over her head, and tosses them both over the attaché and its obscene tray of cash. She turns down the bed, turns off the light, and limps back, crawling in and pulling the orange spread and the coarse sheets up to her chin. They smell the way sheets can smell at the start of cabin season, if they haven't been aired. She lies there, staring up into the dark, hearing the distant drone of a plane.
"They never got you, did they? I know you're gone, though."
His very missingness becoming, somehow, him. Her mother had once said that when the second plane hit, Wynne's chagrin, his personal and professional mortification at this having happened, at the perimeter having been so easily, so terribly breached, would have been such that he might simply have ceased in protest to exist. She doesn't believe it, but now she finds it making her smile. "Good night," she says to the dark.